Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. I'm Bob, and I'm reading today from a study of the book of Hebrews. We're in chapter 1 still, looking at verses 8 and 9 to begin with. We've been comparing Jesus to the angels. We talked about the angels last time. Let's describe the Son using images from Psalm 45 and Isaiah 61. The author of Hebrews here describes the Son as eternal, talking about S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus, as eternal, righteous, royal, holy, anointed, exalted, and God. What could be clearer than verse 8 in the declaration of Scripture that Jesus is not merely the Son of God, but God the Son? The Son of God is not a small title to begin with, but He is God the Son. I'm reading, but of the Son, He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the righteous scepter is the scepter of His kingdom. The psalm is indeed quoted properly and in context. One of the sons of Korah addresses a song to the king. That's Psalm 45, verse 1. He says that God has blessed this king in verse 2. Then he addresses the king as God in verse 6. The very human things this king is involved in lets us know that this God is also man, a good man, a righteous man, a man favored of God the Father. Well, angels are fiery winds, but the power behind them is the king who rules over all. Let's go to verse 9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Going on to 10 now. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they all will become old like a garment, and like a mantle you'll roll them up. Like a garment they'll also be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not come to an end. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand? Now that was verses 10 to 13. From description, the author moves to function. He attributes to the Son the creation of the world, as does John in the first verses of his gospel. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. But the writer does not refer to John, whose gospel may not have been written at this time. He refers to a psalm, quite possibly of David, that speaks of the Lord. How is it that our writer believes that David, in spirit, was talking of the Son and not the Father in that psalm I just read to you? Ellicott deals with this issue. He says the only point of any difficulty in these verses is that the writer discovers a testimony to the supremacy of the Son in words which, as they stand in the psalm, would appear to be directly addressed to God as Creator, the Father. If, however, the psalm be examined, it will be found, and you can look at verses 13 and 14 of Hebrews 1, to contain the expression of hopes, which in reality were inseparably united with the fulfillment of the messianic promise. The Lord shall appear to build up Zion, and so on. This is the psalmist's theme, and it is to the same Lord that he addresses the words which are quoted here. As in Jesus, the Christian Jew saw Him who fulfilled all these promises of God to His people. The application of the words of adoration to the same Lord would at once be recognized as true. The pulpit commentary agrees. It says, the prayed for and expected deliverance portrayed in verses 16 to 24 of, this is Psalm 102, corresponds so closely both in thought and expression, with that pictured in the latter chapters of Isaiah, it's beginning at chapter 40, that we cannot hesitate in assigning the same meaning to both. The bottom line of all the commentators seems to be that, yes, at first sight, Psalm 102 seems to be addressed to God the Father. Further analysis makes it a messianic writing, a fact which the Jewish readers of Hebrews would have understood. So, Jesus is creator. What else? Though Jesus has made a perfect world, he will one day be its destroyer. Perhaps Peter had this in mind when he wrote in 2 Peter 3, verses 7 and 10, quote, "But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly people. The heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be discovered." John speaks of the actual fact in Revelation 20, verse 11, and chapter 21, verse 1, where he says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled, and no place was found for them. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." And then verse 13, still in Hebrews 1, quotes Psalm 110, verse 1, a passage used by Jesus to confound his adversaries. "Jesus shall conquer not only the uninhabitable planet, but every soul that lives on it. Those who have opposed him will be defeated once and for all." This is the message of John's revelation throughout. For 19:16 says, "He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Total control has Jesus over the universe and all its inhabitants. Our Son, God's Son, no angel comes near the Son in terms of function. Well, let's look at verse 14 now. "Are they not all," talking about the angels, "ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation?" So the work that belongs exclusively to angels is ministers, servants, messengers, all of them working for the sake of God's people. Even when they're sent to people outside the covenant, their mission is related to our salvation. They are in the background of the history of the Bible, as they are intended to be. But that background is not just decoration. Consider the ministry of these created servants. Look at Genesis. Twice they were sent to Hagar. Accompanies the Lord in a visit to Abraham, accompanies Abraham's servant in the wife search trip, teaches Jacob how to multiply livestock for himself. In Exodus, angels appear at the call of Moses and travel with the people of Israel to the promised land. In Numbers, standing in Balaam's way. In Judges, rebuking Israel, visiting Gideon, appearing to Samson's parents. In 2 Samuel, used to judge Israel following David's census. David himself says in the Psalms, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." In 1 Kings, encourages Elijah when he flees from Jezebel. In Daniel, he visits Daniel in a den of lions, an angel does. In Zechariah, there's an angel interacting with Zechariah, the prophet. In the Gospels, he appears to Zacharias, he appears to Mary, appears to Joseph three times. An angel appears to shepherds in a field, comforting Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, rolling away the stone from the tomb, announcing the resurrection to some women. In the book of Acts, releases apostles from prison. Angels direct Philip to the eunuch, puts Peter and Cornelius together by separate messages, releases Peter from prison, comforts Paul on that disastrous trip to Rome. In the book of Revelation, they're seen around the throne, inviting anyone to open the book, sounding the seven trumpets, guarding the bottomless pit, pouring out vials of judgment. Various announcements are made, as the destruction of Babylon, for example, sent by God to deliver all of that revelation to John. And that's not all. There were passages I left out, believe it or not. And there are millions and millions of other activities of these creations of God over the centuries, doing the work of God, unseen and unknown. One day, we will look in amazement at the way angelic activity was interwoven with the progress and regress of humanity. Oh yes, we're not downplaying the angels. We're just saying that, bottom line in this chapter, they don't hold a candle to Jesus. Jesus is greater than them all. Well, at the end of each chapter in my study, I want to give a little summary of where we've come so far. Well, we've only come through one chapter so far, but here's my summary of chapter 1. God spoke to the Jews by selected prophets from Moses to Malachi. But now Jesus, the heir of all things, is the message and the messenger. He is greater than those prophets, greater than the angels that assisted those prophets. He is God's Son, the firstborn, God Himself, the eternal King, the Creator, the Judge. And all of this leads to a conclusion that begins in the next chapter. There's chapter 1. We'll let it go at that for today. Next time when we get together, we'll start chapter 2. Have you been around my site lately, around this website that you're at right now? I have the works of several great men of God. I have their stories and their words. I have 400 North Korea audios in English, 400 more in Korean, telling about the plight of the Korean people, getting you to pray. You can go to the North Korea photo updates also. They just click on albums and photos, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a whole study on the Quran for Christians. There's a whole study on Muhammad. There's much in the way of a study of prophecies throughout this site. And we go through the Bible a couple times, asking questions and answering them. Commentaries. We have over 60 titles that you can find there on store. Just click on store. If you are a Kindle person, you can get any one of them for a dollar. Others at very minimal prices. And then there's the blog. I haven't written for a few days now, but every once in a while, and sometimes many days in a row, I will be writing blogs for you right there at Sermon Audio. You can just look for blog and click on it, and you'll find the blog that's up to date. Then there's Zoom, 7 o'clock Central Time. In the United States, every Saturday. We have a men's meeting on Zoom. Send me an email, man, a little bit of a testimony, and let me know who you are, and I'll send you an invitation and a link so that you can get right on the meeting with us. Facebook friends, look me up, Bob Faulkner in Niles, Illinois, and send me a friend request. Even on YouTube these days, some hand-picked sermons from Sermon Audio are there. Mainly the preachers, and some North Korea audios are there. So anyway, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.